eerily of Markham. Convince that one, she points to Dane. I tighten my grip on Zayden's hand, and his thumb strokes over mine. Public notice 433.323 acknowledges a failed border breach attempt by Crovland forces near the outpost of Athbean on December 11th, 433 AU, 2 days before the Midnight Massacre. The only other record of that event exists in the journal of Colonel Hashby, the commander of the outpost who oversaw the interrogations. I look over at Dane. Dad drilled that into me while he was working on the manuscript, and I didn't understand why then, but obviously I get it now. I think it was the year you were obsessed with the tactics of defeating Emerald Sea piracy or something. Dane stiffens. It was a really big problem in the 5th century. I keep from rolling my eyes. Stay with me here. We were on the couch, Dad was pacing in front of the fire, and you thought it was ludicrous that the soldiers had crossed into Navarre to acquire tail feathers. Remember? He winces. Right. Yes. And your father told me I was a lost cause if I ever wanted to take the entrance exam for the Scribe Quadrant if I couldn't remember to apply my superior linguistic skills to all areas of analyzing important historical data. Not that I ever wanted to be a scribe, but still. Good times. Thank you for the reminder. Is this going somewhere, or are we just enjoying a moment of nostalgia? Zayden asks. Apply your superior linguistic skills, Dane, I prompt him. The interrogation was recorded in the common tongue. Dane's eyes widen. But the raiders spoke Crovlish, and descriptors follow nouns in Crovlish. They were hunting feather tails. Dragons. I nod. I think Devarelli brokered a deal with Crovla and an unnamed isle that the isle would provide the army and Crovla would provide dragons. When they were unable to do so, the deal fell apart. The Midnight Massacre happened, and Crovla remained a part of Poromiel. Dane folds his arms across his chest. They were dealing in dragons. He looks over to Narelle. I believe her. It's just going to take me a minute to absorb it. One does not just deal in dragons, let alone take babies to isles that don't have magic. Not when you risk the wrath of the Empyrean. Oh, wait until you realize that your dad knows my dad's book has something to do with feather tales, which means Dad knew to stop trusting him at some point, I add. Dane's face swings my way, and his stricken expression makes me wish I could take the words back. Third question, Narelle announces, and it feels particularly cruel given what she's just put me through. Ask it. My tone leaves something to be desired. What made you leave the prince? She tilts her head to the side, and her eyes light up like we've gathered for tea and gossip. I'm sorry? I lean forward, like it's at all possible I could have misheard her. The prince. She clasps her hands together. Your father knew it wouldn't last, but I'd like to know the final straw. Any chance you want to swoop down and set this shop on fire? I ask Taryn.
As the Dark One said, it doesn't bode well for international relations, he answers.
I would, Andarna offers, but then you wouldn't get your books. The weight of every stare in the room flushes my skin so hot, I feel on the edge of burnout without even a hint of magic. I left him because I found him in a delicate situation with one of his professors. Narelle leans forward and lifts her eyebrows.
He was having sex with a professor.
Mom, Leona chides.
What a fucking asshole,
Dane mutters. Why didn't you tell me? What were you gonna do, punch out the crown prince of Navarre? I counter. Dane's brow furrows.
Yes, Zayden answers. Still might.
So you left him in a jealous rage, even with the crown of Navarre in your hands, Narel prods. Did he come begging your forgiveness? Did you take him back?
I can definitely see why she owns a bookstore and which genre might just be her favorite.
I never sought a crown. And besides, it's not in Halden's nature to beg forgiveness of anyone. I closed the door and didn't bother speaking to him until a few weeks ago. He didn't love me, not in the way I deserve to be loved, and no amount of power is worth staying with someone who doesn't love you.
You know your value, Narelle says softly with a nod. Your father would be proud. Get her the books.
Leona stands, then leaves us waiting in the seating area while she disappears into the back, and I deflate with relief, sagging against Zayden's side. Mira slips her empty pack off her shoulders, then sets it on the unoccupied chair next to Narelle.
I'll carry them for Violet.
Unless, of course, you think my father would have a problem with that. Promise not to read them or anything.
Her biting tone sends a shiver of guilt straight up my spine.
Why was Dad so adamant only I collect them?
Narelle simply smiles and crosses her ankles in front of her.
And that, right there, is why he didn't leave them for you, dear. We all have a part to play in what's coming for us. This one is simply hers, while he was busy raising Violet for this particular mission. Your mother was raising you. I wonder what legacy you've inherited.
Mira's eyes narrow. We leave the bookstore 10 minutes later with 6 tomes written by my father. And every single one of them is passcode locked. Later that afternoon, I lean my head back against the rim of the carved wooden bathtub in the chamber adjacent to the bedroom Zayden and I have been given, and listen to birds I can't identify chirp outside the window above my feet. I'm too short to see the spectacular view of the water, but the sky isn't bad either, softening with the colors of an approaching sunset.
What time is it? I wonder if Halden's back,
if he's managed to secure permission for us to use Devarelli as a home post to visit the other isles, or broach the subject of the 7th breed. I reach for the bond to ask Zayden, only to sigh with frustration at the instant reminder that we don't work that way here. The breeze picks up the white curtains and billows them toward me as the water chills to a temperature that might make me reach for hot water at Basgaiath, but is definitely welcome here in Devarelli. Though my toes are pruning, telling me it's time to get out.
Vi?
Zayden knocks on the door.
You can come in.
A slow smile spreads across my face. It slips completely when he opens the door and leans in wearing nothing but a towel wrapped around his hips.
Gods, is he perfectly beautiful. Wet hair, still a little scruffy, water droplets clinging to the lines of his muscles. Abs for days and days and days.
Just letting you know I'm back. The words die as his gaze catches on my bare shoulders, which is all I'm pretty sure he can see given the height of this tub. Well, my shoulders and my very wet, very unbound hair.
Damn.
I said you should have stayed and had a bath in our room. Lots of space in here. You didn't need to go borrow Riddick's.
I tap the copper pipe at the foot of the tub with my toe.
They really do have some pretty fabulous plumbing.
Yeah. His eyes darken and his grip on the door handle whitens. I figured it was polite to give you time to soak your muscles to help recover after all that riding.
Polite? How very kind of you.
I gather all my hair in my hand and pull it over my left shoulder so it's ready to wring out. Then hit the lever with my foot to start draining the tub, trying to focus anywhere but on him and that incredible body he insists on walking around in.
And do you feel recovered?
His voice lowers. A little exposed after being interrogated about my intelligence and my love life, but otherwise fine. Reaching to the right, I grab the soft white towel I left on the little bench as the water empties with a gurgle, then turn my back to Zayden and stand, quickly wrapping the towel around me. "You're fine," he repeats. "Not dizzy, not sore, not tired. Because we just flew all last night." "I'm not sure I want to go climb the gauntlet or anything," I lean left, wringing my hair out over the tub. "But yes, I'm feeling as good as it gets. Clean, fed, and ready to curl up with the man I love." "Good," he says against my ear, and I gasp with surprise as he grabs hold of my waist and turns me to face him. "Because I'm done being polite." His mouth crashes into mine. Confiscated correspondence of Fenn Ryerson to unknown intended recipient. The most useless word in the language of aristocracy has always been and will forever be love. Marriage is a necessary evil to secure the line, nothing more. Save love for your children. Chapter 25. I abandon my towel and my common sense, throwing my arms around his neck and pouring my whole heart into the kiss. Who cares if we're in a house full of servants and a Viscount I don't trust? If Zayden has set sexual limits between us the last 6 weeks, he's kissing me like I'm the only air he can breathe, and that's all that matters, all that I can allow to matter. My wet feet slip on the tile, and then there's nothing beneath them as I'm lifted to his chest. The sensation of my bare breasts against his damp skin makes me gasp around his tongue. He groans, holding me with one hand under my ass as I wrap my legs around his waist. I nudge his towel straight to the floor before locking my ankles, leaving us skin to skin as he kisses me senseless, robbing me of logic and replacing it with pure want. Our mouths collide again and again without finesse or seduction. There's no flirtation or coy games here. No, it's all hunger and blatant, naked demand. It's fucking perfect, unrestrained, and absolutely greedy. The room moves, or maybe that's us. Either way, the lighting changes, and I find myself perched on the edge of the small breakfast table a few feet from the bedroom window. I rip my mouth from his to scan our surroundings, but Zayden cups my chin and pulls me right back. "No one can see at this angle. I checked," he promises, then goes right back to kissing me, wiping every protest out of my head with the indulgent stroke of his tongue. Wait. He checked. He's thought about this. Oh gods, this might actually happen. Heat and need rush through me, bringing every nerve to blaring life. It doesn't feel like it's only been 6 weeks since I've had all of him above me, below me, within me. It seems like it's been years. He winds my wet hair around his hand, then tugs my head backward gently, breaking the kiss and setting his lips to my throat. Every touch of his lips sends a jolt of yes straight down my spine, and they quickly gather into an aching knot of please right between my thighs. My nails rake into his hair, and I arch for more, whimpering softly when he delivers, toying with me expertly. He uses his firm lips, soft tongue, and rough stubble to their every advantage, until I'm pretty sure he could get me off by just kissing my neck. "I love your skin," he says, working his way down to my collarbone. "You're so damn soft." My pulse jumps and my hands drift to the strong line of his shoulders, touching every inch of his warm skin that I can reach. I want to lay him down on that bed and lick every single line that he's kept hidden away from me for the last 6 weeks. But there's no way I'm going to chance him stopping this for a change of position. He abandons my hair, then brings both hands to cup my breasts. I suck in a swift breath when he lowers his mouth to one peak, then uses his tongue and teeth to worship it. Holy shit, does that feel good? My body is positively starved for his touch, and it's all I can do to stifle a flat-out moan when he moves to the other. "Shh," he whispers with a playful smile. Wouldn't want anyone to hear. It's the smile that does me in, a fear that borders on frenzy breaking through the haze of pleasure he's building. You can't tease me, I shake my head. His hands shift to my hips and he stands to his full height, his brow creasing as confusion fills those gorgeous eyes looking down at me. I mean, you can, I immediately blurt, my hands falling to the table. It's just that I want you, need you, and I'm trying really hard to respect the whole no sex aspect of the rules we laid down. And if you tease me, he fucking smirks, and I debate going back to the throwing daggers at his head stage of our relationship. There's no magic here. Yes, I know. I fold my arms over my breasts and move to close my thighs, but he's standing between them. There's no magic here, he says again, lowering his head, ghosting his lips over mine. I can fuck you as many times as we want, as many times as you can take, and I can't lose control. Oh, my whole body draws tighter than a bowstring and my breath catches. Oh. He runs his thumbs up the insides of my thighs and locks his eyes on mine. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? I run my tongue over my lower lip and his hands flex. Only if you are. I feel like I swallow. I just don't want to push you for something you don't feel comfortable doing. He takes my hand and wraps it around the length of his hard cock. Does that feel like I'm not comfortable? I squeeze my hand on reflex, and he moans low in his throat, his eyes sliding shut. My core clenches at just how hot, how thick, how perfect he is. Fuck, Violet, you do that again, and this will be over in minutes. There's an edge of desperation in his eyes when they open, and he hisses through his teeth as he guides my hand away from his body. Me holding back from you has been purely for your sake, not mine. Trust me. I want you from the second I wake up until the moment I fall asleep. I dream about you. My lips part and warmth spreads throughout my chest. I love you. I love you. He cups my knees. And here, I don't have my fucking powers. Don't get me wrong. There's part of that I am very all right with. My stomach drops. The venom part. But no shadows. He continues. No intention, no lesser magics. I can't even create a sound shield to keep everyone in this house from hearing what you sound like when you come. And that feels... His jaw flexes. I know, I whisper, skimming the back of my hand along his stubble. Not having that constant stream of power buzzing beneath my skin makes me feel less than whole. And I can't talk to Sigale, he adds. I can't even sense you, which is killing me, but in return for all that shit? His scarred brow rises. I get to do my favorite thing in the world, which happens to be fucking you. Now, I have about 6 weeks to make up for, and love, we're wasting time. I brace my hands beside me and smile when his eyes darken at the sight of my body. Well, if you insist. A slow smile curves his mouth and he pushes my knees farther apart. I insist. My laugh abruptly transforms to a moan when he sinks to his knees and sets his mouth on me. Oh, fuck. He doesn't tease or toy. No, he immediately swirls his tongue around my clit and sinks two fingers inside me. Damn, I've missed your taste. Satan! Pleasure jolts through my system like power buzzing in my veins and landing low in my stomach. I slam my hand over my mouth to catch my next moan as he starts to move those exceptionally talented fingers, his tongue working in rhythm to play my body like an instrument created just for him. Tension gathers and coils, and it's all I can do to stay upright to keep balanced with one hand and stifle my moans with the other. I waver, my body swaying, and Zayden reaches for my mouth. I pull his hand to my lips and press a hard kiss to his palm as my hips begin to rock against his face and other hand, chasing the high I can feel approaching with every thrust of his fingers, every flick of his tongue. But I want more. I want him inside me, his arms around me, his voice in my head. We can have all but the last, and it's more than enough. It's good. So fucking good. My breath catches and my thighs stiffen. He curls his fingers and lashes his tongue against my clit, and I unravel. My climax hits hard and fast, and I shout against his palm as white-hot pleasure pulls me over the edge in bright waves that hit again and again, robbing me of breath as they race through me. He coaxes the aftershocks from me relentlessly, working my body until the last of them shudder through. I have no words for the havoc that mouth can wreak. Get up here. I kiss his wrist, and he stands, dragging his thumb along his lower lip. My temperature rises another degree, and my breath hitches as my gaze rakes over him. Mine. It's the only word that comes to mind as I devour the sight of him. Keep looking at me like that, he warns, prowling toward me. He slides his hands beneath my thighs and lifts me farther back on the table. And you'll what? I lie down, bringing my heels to the surface as he climbs onto me, bracing his weight on his palms. Good point. He lowers his mouth to mine, and his arms tremble slightly. I need you. I'm right here. I lift my knees to bracket his hips and reach between our bodies to bring the head of his cock to my entrance. We both inhale at the contact, and his eyes flare. Are you sure? You know what I am, he says slowly, and a flicker of something that looks like fear crosses his face. I know who you are. I cradle his cheeks with my hands. Now, Zayden, you have 6 weeks to make up for, remember? He nods, keeping his gaze locked with mine, then shifts a hand to my hip and drives into me in one long thrust, taking me inch by inch by inch until he's all I can feel. The pressure, the stretch, the feel of him is so perfect that my foolish eyes prickle because I've missed this connection so damn much. Are you all right? His eyes widen and his hips jerk back. I'm fine, I wrap my legs around him. I just missed this. Me too. He drops his forehead to mine and rolls his hips, sinking into me. We both moan. I miss being inside your head. He withdraws, then snaps forward again. And I see stars. Pleasure shoots through my very bones as he begins that deep, slow rhythm I can never get enough of. I love having every part of you when we're like this. Same. I wind my arms around his neck and hold on, arching to meet every delectable thrust as sweat quickly slicks our bodies. I love when you talk to me. My fingers slide over his lips, even when your mouth is otherwise occupied. He grins, but it slips when I swivel my hips and he groans. Fuck, you feel so damned good. I'm never giving you up. You know that, right? You had your chance to run. You should have run, Vi. He punctuates each claim with a harder, deeper thrust that has me straining for breath, for reasonable thought that goes beyond more and yes as wood creaks beneath us. I pull his mouth down to mine and breathe through the keening pleasure that's building within me again, deeper and hotter than before. I'm never running. It's you and me, no matter what. You and me, he repeats, sweat beading on his brow as his hips drive me into the table and it creaks, starting to rock with us. Just don't stop. I'm pretty sure stopping might kill me. I hold tight with my arms, my legs, clinging to him with everything I have as he lowers his weight to his forearm, cushions the back of my head with his hand and drives into me, taking me higher and higher. Wood snaps a second before gravity shifts and my stomach hollows as we fall. My skin only touches his on impact. He has me held against his chest with one arm, while his other and his knees took the brunt of our mishap. Are you all right? I ask, my face buried in his neck. I'm fine. We fell 3 feet, not 30, he laughs, rolling us off the destroyed table and onto the hardwood floor, careful not to crush my ankles. Then he picks up right where he left off, except this time I'm close enough to the bed rail to push back against him for leverage. Hold on. He reaches over my head, retrieves a pillow, then slides it under my hips. The next thrust hits such a sweet spot that I can taste it. He muffles my cry with his mouth as I arch up for him again and again, savoring every breath through his gritted teeth, every strained line of his incredible body, every drugging kiss as the pleasure spins tighter and tighter between us. And gods, help me, I hold on as long as humanly possible. I don't want it to end, don't want to go back to the endless wanting. A whimper escapes my lips as I fight the pressure, the oncoming wave I know I can't avoid, not when every roll of his hips drives me toward it.
You have to let go for me, love.
Zayden nips my lower lip. I'm not, I gasp, my body twisting beneath his.
Fuck, it feels too damn good.
You are. His hand drifts down to my stomach. I don't need to be in your head to know why you're fighting it. This isn't the only time, Vi. We have all night.
Come for me.
All night sounds better than any heaven I know of. I sink my fingers into his hair as he strokes my hypersensitive clit with the precise pressure he knows I like. And I shatter. I fly apart at the seams as the orgasm surges through me in arching pulses. He swallows my moans with a kiss as the waves break again and again, and then he puts me back together with soft strokes of his hands as I come back down.
So beautiful,
he whispers against my mouth, and only when I fall against the floor, a trembling, happily content mess, does he kiss me like he's searching for his own soul and finds his own completion with a few final hard thrusts and a low groan. I hold him tight as he rolls us to the side, his back to the destruction, and he cradles my head on his biceps. I trace the line of the scar across his brow as my heartbeat settles and commit the contours of his face to memory again, while he watches me with a glazed, soft expression. There's too much of us missing here for this to truly be us. But it's a version that I want to cling to, where he isn't plagued by the threat of turning, where he isn't telling me that I have to learn how to kill him.
We could just stay here,
I whisper. His brow twitches, and he pushes my hair back from my face.
Here, as in this room?
Here, as in Devarelli. I run my fingers along his jaw. I can take Takaris's offer, if Taren and Andarna agree. I'm sure they would if it means you stop all progression until I can find a cure. You and Sigale could stay here while I do the research. He slides his thumb over my lips.
She's in pain.
I blink. How could I have missed that? Guilt weighs down my shoulders.
All the dragons are, I think.
Not that they'll admit it.
But I don't think they can survive, or at least thrive, the way they do at home, away from magic. I could never cause Sigale pain.
He skims his calloused hand down the side of my neck and over my ribs to settle on the slope of my waist.
And I could never let you abandon everyone you love.
A boulder lodges in the middle of my throat. Someone knocks.
Hey, Riddick says through the door. My face flushes and I cover my mouth with my hand.
We're all good, Zayden calls out with a wicked grin, stroking my hip.
Yeah, that's great, Riddick says. No, I'm not.
His voice muffles.
Look, we have a problem here,
Kat snaps.
Shouting it through the door isn't going to help, Dane says. Get away from there,
Mira lectures, and both Zayden and I scramble to our feet.
Violet, answer the door.
How many people are crowded into that hallway? Zayden's faster to the bathroom than I am, and he throws my towel through the doorway, making sure I catch it before striding out with his own wrapped around his hips.
You can't answer the door like that,
I hiss at him, covering myself and bemoaning how long it will take to get my clothes on.
Neither can you, and I'm sure as fuck not offering the sight of you in a towel up to Atos after hearing that your father basically planned your wedding to the asshole,
Zayden retorts just as quietly, his hand on the doorknob. I recognize defeat and step toward the wall out of sight as Zayden opens the door.
To what do we owe the honor of a visit from every single one of you? he asks. I thought two of you were flying the southern route to confirm there aren't any Irids hiding out here.
Silence answers. I lean left, just enough to see Zayden glance over his shoulder.
Yes, the table is broken. Now what do you need?
You two totally broke it, didn't you? Riddick asks on the edge of laughter. Like that armoire no one was supposed to notice getting hauled out of her room during first year.
The what? Mira's voice rises, and I lean against the wall, letting my head fall back in mortification.
What could be so fucking important that you're trying to ruin my one evening? Zayden snaps.
A messenger came, Dane says. King Cortland has decided to keep Halden. My stomach pitches.
Too fucking bad for Halden, Zayden shrugs.
Zayden! I lift my brows at him and his mouth tightens.
We're flying out as planned, but Takaris needs you, Dane continues. You're the only aristocrat they'll let in.
You have to go, I whisper. Zayden looks my way, and too many emotions to count cross his beautiful face. Want, desperation, pleading, frustration, anger, resignation.
Fuck, fine. He slams the door in their faces. We have to go.
An excerpt from A Study in the Anatomy of the Enemy by Captain Dominic Prischel.
In the first 24 hours of removal from source magic, the subject, an ASIM, presented as even-tempered. But withdrawal quickly revealed the subject's true nature, requiring the subject's immediate transfer to stage 2 of the study. Her results can be found with group 33B under the category Death by Fire, and subsequently group 46C under the category Death by Poison.
Chapter 26.
Devarelli is beautiful by sunset. Or at least it would be if I could concentrate on taking the time to really appreciate the isle. Instead, I'm focused on exactly how close Tarn thinks he can fly to the treetops without actually crashing into one as we race along the hillside ahead of Sigail. To Endarna's disdain, Tarn ordered her to remain behind for her own safety.
You're sure we're out of range of the crossbolts? I ask, hunkered down against the pommels of my saddle, my pack weighing me down, as if my slight stature could possibly affect his aerodynamics.
They are made not to rotate this way, but to defend the shoreline. They woefully underestimate our intelligence.
Still, the existence of the crossbolts means this isle wants to do us harm. And it possibly already is. Are you in pain? Is Endarna? I ask as I spot four enormous gray pillars ahead, supporting the remnants of an aqueduct as they curve around the hillside, marking the path to their palace.
What would make you ask that?
His gruff tone answers for him as he crosses over an open space that looks to be in the arts district, from what I remember reading. And a chorus of shouts sounds, then vanishes as we pass by.
Sorry, but if you abduct our royalty, we scare the shit out of you with our dragons.
Seems pretty fair to me.
Why didn't you tell me?
Guilt for even suggesting to Zayden that we stay, for not realizing it, settles on my shoulders.
You live in pain. Do you feel as though you need to alert me every time your knee twinges or your joints slip?
Even his wing beats change, becoming more staccato.
There have been several moments, even here, when your heartbeat has elevated and you have approached unconsciousness, yet you have not made special note.
I lean with him as he banks left, following the centuries-old aqueduct.
That's just everyday life for me. This isn't normal for you.
Endarna shows no sign of trouble. I am inconvenienced, annoyed, and cut off from my source of power, strength, and my mate's thoughts. But I am still Tairnanak,
son of Muet Koydim and Fia Clan Fuel, descended from—
All right, yes, I get it. You are superior in all ways. I interrupt him before he can get through his whole pompous lineage like I don't have it memorized by now. We level out, following the topography, and I take in as much of the layout as I can before we're too far overhead. Terran's size is a distinct advantage in battle, but it's a pain in the ass when I'm trying to see what's below me. The palace is unlike anything I've ever witnessed. Not only is the four-story structure carved into the hillside, but so is a 100-yard meadow ahead of it. It's truly spectacular, a feat of engineering when it was accomplished 1,000 years ago, and testament to their traditions that it's still their seat of power and hasn't faded to ruin like so many of the ancient castles of kingdoms past on the continent. Soft blue light glows in orbs down a central path of the clearing, lighting our way as the sun sinks behind the hills and we descend toward the muted green grass. The space is wide enough to support the width of 2 dragons with fully extended wings, but probably 4, if they held them retracted.
Do you know where you're going?
Terran asks as we approach, his wings flaring to slow our descent. The majority of their formal spaces are outside, according to what I've read, as are the king's chambers, just beyond the first row of trees. So, in theory? Yes. I position my body for landing as he flies over a platoon of panicked guards bearing what appear to be silver-tipped spears, then sets us down to the left of the row of incandescent blue orbs. Not that they're going to let me in. Segale and Zayden land to the right. Shouting ensues as I unbuckle my belt and move for Tarn's shoulder. No changes to the plan? I ask, steeling my nerves for what's bound to be a contentious confrontation. I want my fucking power back. I want it now.
None. I will be with you all the way, Silver One.
His promise reassures me as I dismount, the weight of the pack jarring my spine on impact. I shake it off, then walk toward Zayden, who's already waiting for me at the center of the path between the rows of blue orbs. His swords are strapped to his back, but his daggers are within easy reach, and he carries the same oversized pack he's hauled with us from Navarre, which he'd told me was for just in case. I guess an Isle Kingdom kidnapping your prince qualifies as just in case. I can't help but do a double take at one of the orbs as I walk by, stepping into the path. The blue glow isn't from a single light source, but dozens of large bioluminescent insects with translucent wings, all feeding from— A smile breaks across my face. They're Falarinia moths.
What?
Zayden's boots crunch on the rocky path as he walks my way. Falarinia moths. I touch the cool glass orb. We don't have them on the continent, just their sister species. They light up when they feed from honeycomb. I read about them in Sir Zimli's Guide to Devarelli Fauna, but I had no idea they harnessed them for light. It's brilliant. Poisonous, but brilliant.
Of course you did. Zayden counters. But we should probably concentrate on the dozen pissed off guards headed our way.
Fair point. I throw my braid over my shoulder, cursing that I hadn't had time to put it up as usual, and turn to face the approaching horde of angry white-clad Devarelli. I'm guessing we have less than 10 seconds, and those spear tips look mighty unfriendly. My hands dangle near the sheaths along my sides, but Zayden stands with his feet braced apart, his arms folded across his chest as if he isn't that concerned. But his eyes sweep across the group methodically, no doubt putting them all into threat categories. I focus on the fox-like woman on the right who keeps flaring her nose and stepping off the path like I won't notice, and her male counterpart on the left doing his best to fade into the shadows, not realizing he's in the presence of a master.
Look, more blades, Zayden says, and here I thought you were a weaponless society.
The one in the center with a blue sash steps forward and starts shouting. I can only pick out a few words, two of which are stop and kill.
We could really use Dane right about now, I whisper.
I could live the rest of my life without ever hearing you say that again, Zayden replies.
We could really use the bond, too.
Do any of you happen to speak the common tongue? I ask, when the serrated silver blades of their raised spears are about 5 feet from our chests. They pause, and I shoot a warning look at the nose flarer on my right.
You are forbidden to enter the palace of King Cortlyn the Fourth,
Blue Sash declares, jabbing his blade in our direction, but not close enough to merit a reaction.
Ruler of Deverelli, master of the trade, keeper of the troths, justice of the tribunal, and heir of the antiquities.
By the time he finishes, it's hard to keep my brows level.
Sounds humble, Zayden says. Can't wait to meet him.
You won't be.
Blue Sash steps forward, blade raised. My hands flex near my sheaths as the woman on my right swings her blade back and forth between me and Taryn's slow but steady approach. His head is low, almost even with the ground, and his wings are tucked in tight for protection. If I wasn't his, I'd probably be shitting my pants.
We will, Zayden counters with a bored sigh.
And I'm trying really hard to be diplomatic, since that's the role I've been handed, but let me put this in terms you'll understand. Your king kidnapped our asshole of a prince, and there's a large part of me that wouldn't mind him staying here and annoying the shit out of you for the rest of his miserable life, but that would make things difficult back home for someone I have complicated loyalty toward. So I'm going to need the prick back.
Auric.
Blue Sash's brow puckers, but his blade doesn't lower. Now, Zayden orders. I have much more important things to see to this evening. Flare Nose to my right swings her blade fully at Taryn and pulls back her arm, preparing to thrust with a full-on battle cry. I draw my blade the same second Taryn drops his jaw and roars, the sound shattering every glass orb within a dozen feet of us and leaving my ears ringing.
Was that really necessary? My right ear won't work for a month.
No, but I found it amusing.
The guard drops her spear and stands there, shaking like a leaf for several seconds before she slowly turns around to face us, her brown eyes wider than should be physically possible. Her bronzed skin suddenly rather wan. I tilt my head at her.
They don't like it when you do that.
Trembling, she drags her gaze to mine, then collapses to sit on the ground. There's a definite quiver in Blue Sash's arms, but I give him credit for still holding his blade.
You may not enter.
I'm Zayden Ryerson. The Duke of Tirindor, Zayden inclines his head. He's probably expecting me. Blue Sash blinks, then looks in my direction.
And you are?
Well, shit. My mouth opens. My consort, Zayden replies casually. Violet Sorengale.
What the actual fuck?
My jaw snaps shut so hard my teeth click. I want our bond back, and I want it back right now. He can't just announce things like that without at least a discussion.
Are congratulations or commiserations in order?
Taryn lifts his head.
Shut up.
I sheathe my dagger to keep from chucking it at the man I love.
In that case,
Blue Sash raises his spear fully upright, and the others follow his lead.
If you'll divest of your weaponry here, we'll escort you to the table.
That's not happening. I shake my head. This place took my lightning and my bond. Malik himself would have to pluck my daggers from my sheaths before I give them up.
What she said, Zayden agrees.
Blue Sash blusters.
We do not believe in weaponry.
Unless you're... you, I say slowly. Have you seen the size of their teeth? I gesture toward Taryn and Sigale. Then there's the fire. Our blades are the least of your worries. Taren huffs a blast of steam scented with sulfur, and Blue Sash lifts his chin, ordering the others to stay where they are, then leads Zayden and me down the path. Sigale and Taren follow alongside us until we reach the first barricade of the clearing, two thick rows of palm trees marking the formal entrance to the outdoor palace.
Your creatures remain here, Blue Sash demands.
We'll pass that request along, Zayden replies.
We can see right over these, Taren notes.
Remember, diplomacy is plan A. I reach for Zayden's hand and move closer to him as we walk on the orb-lit path, passing what looks to be an open-air receiving room on the left with various seating arrangements, and a music room on the right with instruments waiting for their musicians.
No walls, Zayden notes. No ceilings? What do they do when it rains?
Awnings. I point to the long wooden rails that run the length of the room, ready to shelter its occupants with fabric.
And consort? I whisper. We aren't married.
He fucking smirks.
I've noticed, but girlfriend is missing that permanent tone.
If it makes you more comfortable, consort is used pretty loosely in Navarian aristocratic circles. Pretty sure the Duke of Caldeer has had 4 different consorts in as many years. The designation just gets you the invitation into this place, plus gives you the protection and privileges of my title.
I don't need the protection and privileges, I shake my head as we pass another row of palms.
Ouch,
he lifts his hand to his chest.
Never thought you'd reject me.
I roll my eyes.
It is not the time for this.
Jokes have to wait.
When would be?
The next look he gives me is 100% serious. My feet nearly stumble along with my heartbeat. Just the idea of really having forever with him makes my chest ache with a longing that doesn't belong on a possible battlefield.
When we're not risking death, we're always risking death.
He strokes his thumb over mine.
True,
I admit, as we walk onto a flagstone floor, entering the palace's dining hall. The room is laid out in 2 rows of 8 circular tables, each seating 10 finely dressed Devarelli on backless chairs, all outfitted in a riot of pastel colors and lightweight tunics and gowns. The table linens are embroidered. The place settings extravagant with golden cups and crystal chalices, and jewels glitter in the soft blue light that emanates from the center of every table, and the posted orbs that run the length of the room, illuminating the rows of guards and their blades. At the end of the open-air chamber, there's a raised dais with a U-shaped table for 5. A man I can only assume is the King of Devarelli sits at its center, twirling a bejeweled dagger in his hands and staring at Halden on the right end of the table, like he hasn't decided if he's going to use that dagger on him or not. There's no sign of Captain Winshire, but Takaris looks like he'd rather be anywhere than between Cortland and Halden.
Fuck, Zayden mutters.
He's younger than I thought, I say about the king, by about 4 decades or so. Cortland only looks to be a few years older than Zayden and me. He's handsome, with deep golden brown skin stretched over high cheekbones, and a strong jaw, cunning brown eyes, and shoulder-length black hair. But the speed with which he locates Zayden and me and quickly appraises us leaves me a little queasy. Zayden's hand tightens around mine, and he leans down to brush his lips against my ear.
The shadows here are not mine. I know your skill with a dagger. I'm not discounting your ability to protect yourself. But for the good of my sanity, while I try to get Halden out of whatever mess he's created, will you please stay by my side?
I nod. How can I not? He's not asking me to hide behind him, nor did he leave me with Taren to keep me safe. He's just asking me to stay close. And honestly, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. He squeezes my hand once, then lets go, freeing us both in case we need to fight, and we move forward as Blue Sash beckons, clearly exasperated with the time we're taking. King Cortland waves off the couple on the left as we approach, listening to whatever Takaris whispers in his ear, and servants scurry to replace the plates and cups as the couple departs.
They don't shake hands, I tell Zayden quietly as we walk down the aisle. They don't mince or waste words. They speak in double meanings only when it's convenient to them. They value status, wealth, knowledge, and secrets. Anything that can be traded. If you break your word once, you're never trusted again.
Say what I mean. Don't lie. Act like a rich entitled dick. Got it. He nods. Rage shines in Halden's gaze as it meets mine when we reach the last set of tables, and his fist closes around his gold fork. I send him a silent, subtle plea to keep his shit together, and he places the fork on the table and clenches his jaw.
The Duke of Tirindor,
Blue Sash announces loudly, gesturing to the four steps that lead up the dais on the left.
And his consort, Violet Sorensail.
Close enough. Zayden walks up the steps first, his gaze sweeping the floor, the chairs, the table, and even the place settings before he reaches back with a hand. It's unnecessary but sweet, so I take it and walk up after him. It's Sorensail, he corrects Blue Sash. I take the seat on the end, and Zayden takes the one closest to Cortland's right. What did you do? I ask Halden across the divide.
Straight to the point, Cortland says, rolling the jeweled dagger. I enjoy this.
What makes you think I did anything?
Halden challenges, leaning over his plate. Previous history? Servants step up behind the other three occupants and remove the dishes.
I'm sorry to say that you missed the dinner portion of this evening, Cortland announces. But dessert will soon arrive.
What did you do, Halden?
Zayden repeats for me.
Exactly what I was sent here for.
Color flushes Halden's cheeks, and he slams his palms down on the table.
I reestablished diplomatic connections with Devarelli and asked for their permission to use Takaris's manor to launch a search mission with a riot of dragons. In return for the artifact he requested, and when that was not enough, I offered, what was not yours to give?
Cortland lunges across Takaris and plunges the dagger into Halden's hand.
Holy fucking shit. My stomach churns.
Your Majesty,
Takaris balks, the blood draining from his face. I drop my hand to Zayden's knee and squeeze to keep from screaming the way Halden does as he stares down in shock. Zayden tenses but wears a mask of bored indifference like a professional.
Stop wailing like a child.
Cortland sits back in his chair, then takes a drink of red wine from his crystal goblet. Halden sucks in breath after breath, staring at his hand, but the screaming ceases.
Pull it out, wrap your hand, get it stitched by a healer, and you'll be fine in a fortnight.
Cortland lectures.
The cut is between your bones in the fleshy part. No tendons. My aim is very good.
He lifts his goblet at Halden.
You're lucky I respect Takaris, because what you've done is unforgivable.
The dagger was mine to give,
Halden bites out, staring at the jeweled blade. It looks to be antique, with a silver handle and emeralds the size of my fingernails adorning the hilt.
No, it wasn't.
Cortland shakes his head. It's mine, Zayden says, and it takes everything I have to keep my features schooled.
Or rather, it should have been. It's the blade of Erasia, appropriated for the royal vault by Reginald during the unification.
Yes!
Cortland's goblet swings Zayden's way as three servants climb the steps around us, one on each side.
Fascinating how he chose this particular gift, knowing it might provoke your emotions. Normally, when it comes to such heirlooms, we'd consider possession ownership. But in this case, His Highness's word was already broken. Hence why I could not make his deal. I'm fascinated to learn how much he is worth on the ransom market. Or perhaps I'll entertain classic blackmail. Surely King Tauri will be amenable to quite a few things, should his son remain in residence.
You can't just keep him, Takaris argues.
Why not? Weren't you telling me you wanted to keep that one?
Cortland points at me.
I did not break my word,
Halden growls and grabs hold of the dagger's hilt as the servants put down a covered dish in the center of each side of the table.
Looks like we're sharing dessert.
I hope you don't mind waiting a moment,
Cortland says, and the servants wait, their hands poised on rounded copper covers.
My little ones have arrived.
He gestures down the aisle, and I inhale a sharp breath. Tarn growls, and Andarna perks up, taking notice along the bond, her golden energy intensifying as three pure white panthers stalk toward us. I've only ever seen their kind illustrated in books, and never in white. They're graceful and elegant and so very beautiful. And the closer they get, the more I'd like them to stay in the books. Their paws are huge.
Wind rustles the trees at my back, and a chill runs the length of my spine. This entire palace is outdoors, and they have the run of it. I have no desire to be their dinner.
Aren't they magnificent?
Cortland asks, his tone marveling like a proud father.
Shira, Shayna, and Shora. I've raised them from cubs myself, all hunters, all vicious, all adept at sniffing out a thief.
He turns a pointed look Halden's way. My stomach sinks and my heart begins to pound. Pull it out and bandage that hand now, I tell him. Zayden moves to push back from the table. Cortland raises his hand.
Do it for him, and any chance of us striking a deal is off.
He sets his goblet down.
I need to know you can uphold your end of a bargain, even when it's unpleasant to do so. Just as your father did.
Zayden nods once, his face an unreadable mask, but his leg tenses under my hand.
Guess my father wasn't the only one keeping secrets.
Now, Halden!
I have no problem yelling at the air. The panthers are halfway here. Halden yanks the dagger free with a hiss, then sheathes it like it's his, and quickly binds the wound with his napkin, field dressing it as best he can.
Now that that's done,
Cortland turns to Zayden.
I assume you would like the same deal he asked for?
My hand tightens on Zayden's knee.
I can't agree, seeing as I have no idea what Halden requested, Zayden says.
But we'd like to reopen diplomatic channels and secure permission to use Viscount Takaris's manor as a stopping point for a riot of no more than 8 dragons and an equal number of griffins for the purposes of a search party, which would entail securing hunting rights of wild game for said creatures and a promise of safety for all parties. Cortland rolls the stem of his goblet between his thumb and forefinger.
To whom do you owe your loyalty, Your Grace? Your father was a rebel. From what I hear, you are cut from the same cloth. And yet, you've been restored to your title. So, to whom do you swear your fealty?
I reach into the right side pocket of my pack for the conduit out of sheer habit as the panthers approach the dais, splitting to surround us. The familiar weight of the orb is comforting in my hand, and I swear I can feel a hum, a swift rise in heat that I know is only in my head. But it's soothing all the same.
Navarre?
Cortland continues.
Or Tirindor?
Lie, and this discussion is over. We've fared quite well without the continent.
Zayden tilts his head, studying the king.
Violet.
My heart skips into double time. My loyalty is to Violet, first above everything, everyone else, Zayden says. Then Tirindor, then Navar in the moments it's worthy, usually when Violet is in residence. It's a reckless answer given what hangs in the balance, and now is absolutely not the time. But damn if it doesn't make me love him even more.
Interesting.
The king stops twirling his glass. I'm assuming with our deal, trade would begin again, Zayden says, which would be mutually beneficial since I'm sure you've heard we're in a war with the Venin. Should you decide to become our ally,
oh, we've never involved ourselves with Venin.
Cortland shakes his head.
War destroys isles, blocks economies.
Supplying those at war, however, that's where the money is.
We remain neutral in all things and always have. It's how we've maintained trade, commerce, growth, and knowledge for the world, no matter what god you worship or magic you can access.
But they've been here, right? I narrow my eyes slightly, noting that there's now a panther perched directly behind me. I lean forward to look around the servant who is still holding our dish shut. Did you defeat them?
Or cure them?
Cortland glares.
To imply that our isle is weak, conquerable, is a line you do not want to cross. Such an assumption is disastrous to an economy that is built on safe, stable trade. People do not invest in unstable isles.
He snaps his fingers. The panthers leap onto the dais with an ease that speaks to nightly routine.
I will not stand for you being devoured by a house cat,
Taryn growls.
Stay put and keep Sigail with you,
I shout down the bond, and my knuckles whiten around the conduit as the panther pushes between Zayden and me, its soft coat brushing against my arm.
Shora's lovely, don't you think?
Cortland says to Zayden, an indulgent smile curving his mouth, then continues toward Halden without waiting for an answer.
I hope you don't mind, but they're used to eating with me. Your Highness, do remember that Shira earned every bit of her special dinner today.
He lifts his hands, palms up, and crooks his fingers. The servants remove the copper covers, then duck off the dais.
Oh, gods, it's a giant slab of red meat that has to have been carved off the largest cow to have walked this aisle.
The panther, Shira, chuffs low in her throat, flicking her tail. And I can't help but wonder if this is how the infantry cadets felt that day on the field when Bade found us. Zayden's hand covers mine and squeezes, and I look over to find him staring stone-faced across the table, then track his gaze. Captain Anna Winshire's head lies on the plate between Halden and Takaris, her short strawberry blonde curls unmistakable. My jaw slackens.
Oh, Malik.
Cortland has killed Halden's personal guard and is serving her to his cat.
I'm gonna be sick.
Bile rises in my throat and I swallow quickly, breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth, but all I smell is meat and blood.
Don't watch, Zayden whispers, and I wrench my gaze away.
Eat,
Cortland orders, and the panthers pounce. Paws land on the table between us, and a massive maw opens, snatching the meat off the plate and dragging it, leaving a bloody trail on the white linen as she hauls her meal to the dais, then to the floor. The others follow suit. When I look across at Halden, he stares at his empty plate, completely stricken.
Aren't they beautiful creatures?
Cortland asks. I blink away the shock and set the conduit on the table. Death and I are old friends, and it's not like I really knew Anna, but the audacity is truly unparalleled.
You murdered my guard, Halden says slowly. Your thief was found in my treasury,
Cortland counters, with 6 stolen treasures on her person and a list of 5 more she had yet to attain written in your handwriting.
My stomach lurches and my gaze jumps to Halden's.
You didn't.
They are all items that belong to us. He pounds his chest and stands, his chair falling back against the dais. It is not stealing to take back what is rightfully ours.
A vein in his neck bulges. Guards move in toward the edge of the dais, forming a perimeter around the panthers, and I slip my hand from beneath Zayden's and reach for the sheaths at my lower thighs beneath the tablecloth.
It's about to turn to shit, I warn Taryn. Communicate that to Sigale however you can.
He rumbles in acknowledgement, and palm trees sway in the distance.
Rightfully yours?
Cortland challenges, his voice rising in a sinister melody.
What's the penalty for thievery here? Zayden whispers.
From a royal house? I focus inward. Degree 22, I wince. No, 23 is death. I've studied, but I'm nowhere near a legal expert.
Is Halden complicit under their laws?
Their system isn't like ours. Their decrees can contradict each other, and Cortland sits on their tribunals, so... My words trip over themselves.
I don't know, maybe...
I might want to strangle Halden myself, but I can't let him be executed here for stealing.
Those items are mine, received as goods bartered for services rendered over the last century, as you well know,
Cortland shouts, and the diners fall silent at their tables, leaving only the sound of the panthers devouring their dinners.
Wait, the last century?
My shoulders fall and my mind whirls, recalling Arik's words from last year when I asked what Halden was going to do about what was happening beyond our borders.
I'm here, aren't I?
Arik had implied that Halden wasn't going to act.
But this is so much worse.
Halden didn't just know.
He's been playing a starring role. You took advantage of our desperation.
Halden accuses, accepted priceless magical artifacts under unfair terms, and now you execute my personal guard when we seek to rectify your outright theft with a genuine agreement?
Fuck you! We want no part of you, your deception, or this god's forsaken isle.
Halden surges forward, shoving his section of the table over, and it topples into the void of the center.
Oh, shit.
Cortland's gaze turns to ice, and my ribs feel like they're twisting inward as I watch everything we've worked for fall apart in a matter of seconds. Takaris jumps backward, then quickly scrambles down the steps, and I don't blame him in the least.
Halden has fucked us over. The sour taste of betrayal fills my mouth, but a bitter flood of metallic anger carries it away with the next heartbeat. Enough, Halden!
Zayden stands and I slowly do the same, monitoring the guards around us, the panthers behind us, and those in the crowd reaching beneath the linens for what could be hidden weapons.
He is a thief, and he impugns my honor in front of my entire court,
Cortland shouts at Zayden, but he points his finger toward Halden.
He no longer speaks for us.
Zayden swings the pack from his shoulder, setting it atop the table with a clang. If you will not accept the deal with Navarre, then accept it with Tirindor. And I'll assure you the only riots on your shore will have Aratian riders and their flyer counterparts, who will abide by your laws and respect your customs. And in return, with my utmost gratitude for your trust, he unbuttons the top flap of his rucksack and pulls it back slowly, revealing an inch of an emerald-studded hilt that steals my breath.
It looks too much like the dagger to be a coincidence.
My heart stutters.
That can't be. He can't. I won't let him.
No!
I grab hold of Zayden's hand, preventing him from showing the rest of it.
If that's what I think it is, then absolutely not.
Vi.
He shakes his head, searching my eyes. And I know I'm not the only one longing for the bond that usually makes these moments easy for us.
It might be the only way to forge an alliance and save the prick.
You've sacrificed enough. I've got this.
I slip my heavy pack from my shoulders and set it beside his.
Absolutely not, Halden shouts.
Zayden gives him a look that clearly says he's had enough of his shit.
I alone have the authority to speak for Navarre,
Halden rages, taking two threatening steps toward the king.
You do not make deals with provinces, let alone the son of a traitor who blackmailed his way into a title. I am the only voice of our kingdom.
His hands curl into fists, and the binding around his right floods crimson. Cortland sighs, then reaches for his goblet and takes a drink.
I've heard enough, and this grows tedious. Takaris may live. Kill the rest.
An excerpt from Journal of Captain Lilith Sorengale. Sometimes diplomacy is best served at sword point. Chapter 27. Guards move in and everything goes to complete, immediate shit. Zayden draws both his swords, then surprises the hell out of me by tossing one across the gap to Halden, who catches it with his left hand in the same breath that I palm two of my daggers. We are not dying tonight. Try not to kill anyone, Zayden says, even as the first of the guards charges up the steps between the panthers. International relations and all.
Tell her that,
I glance down at the panther, thankful she's still occupied. Do not overreact, I warn Tarn, hoping it's not my final request. We still need this deal.
I resent the implication that I am given to melodramatics,
he replies. But there's a distinct plate-rattling roar to my left that causes more than a few guests to shriek as Zayden clashes blades with the guard, then kicks him clean off the stairs with a boot to the center of his chest. I whirl to the left as a guard climbs the end of the dais without stairs,